Great. So I wanted to talk about Peter because Peter can be described as someone who makes a fair amount of mistakes, and they're often recorded. He misunderstands Jesus quite a lot, which I think we do often. He kind of isn't really a team player, majority of the time. He sleeps at inconvenient times, and he's just really normal. And that's part of the reason why I chose him, because he is normal. And so often in the Bible, we read of kings and like people like Stephen in Acts who are so filled with the Holy Spirit, and not all of us are like that. A majority of us are just average people, just trying to live life, plodding through. And so when you read the Bible and you don't see many people like that, it's can be quite hard to relate to the Bible, and quite hard to read if you don't know why you're reading or you don't relate to someone who's in it. Like cooking, if you don't like cooking, you're not going to read a cooking book because it doesn't have any relevance to you and it doesn't interest you. So my hope is that by talking a little bit about Peter, it shows that there are normal, not just characters, but people in the Bible, and that we can relate to them, and they have gone through similar things that we're going through. And that it opens up doors all the way along to show you different people and say, hey, I don't really relate to Peter, and I understand that he's normal, but actually, Peter was friends with this guy, and I really like the way this guy does stuff. Or what about this woman? What did she do that was so good? And hopefully, it opens up different doors so that you understand people differently in the Bible and that you can relate to it. And that's all I really want to do. And luckily for us, or unfortunately for Peter, one of his biggest regrets is documented in all four Gospels. And that is the denial of Peter, where it's prefaced by Jesus a couple of chunks earlier. I don't really know paragraphs or chapters. Earlier, sort of says, you'll deny me three times, as soon as the rooster crows, you'll remember. And Peter's like, no, mate. It's not going to happen. Don't worry about it. It's all fine. And then Peter gets on the night of Jesus' trial. Jesus is probably up there getting absolutely ripped into. Peter's in the audience and people are like, hey, I recognize you. You were the man with Jesus. Peter's like, nah, mate, it wasn't me. And then kind of gets asked three times and denies Jesus three times. And then the rooster crows and Peter thinks, oh my gosh, what have I done? And then it says he went away and wept really bitterly. Not really bitterly, he went away and wept bitterly, but I can imagine that it was really, really difficult actually. And yeah, his story is all about redemption. And you think that someone who denied the Son of God three times in front of the Son of God, and when the Son of God knew that and told him that, so he could have been prepared to not do that. It's a pretty big thing, isn't it, really? And for all the mistakes we make, this story I think provides hope that there is room for redemption in that. And Psalm 139, just going back to the Old Testament really quickly, tells us that God knew our mistakes before we were even born. It says in verse 16, your eyes saw my unformed body, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. And I find this really reassuring because actually, every mistake that I make, every mistake that I've made, and every mistake that I'm going to make in the future, God knows them already. And He still died on the cross, resurrected, and sent the Holy Spirit for me and for everyone else watching this or not watching this. And yeah, it's really interesting that kind of unconditional love, you don't get it very often, do you? Especially in the pandemic, I think about kind of the loo roll frenzy. I can imagine like really angry shoppers with trolleys ready to barge, ploughing down the aisle. It's quite amusing to think about actually, but it's sort of like a game show, isn't it? There are winners. And there are losers. Some people get toilet roll and some people don't. And that is our world, isn't it? That's the world that we live in. You either win, you're successful, you have money, you have a good reputation, or you lose. And we know from 1 Corinthians 13 that love is not self-seeking. And so we know that that balance isn't quite right. There shouldn't be winners and losers. There should just be a family, a people, so to speak. And when you kind of come across that love, it's really hard to reconcile, because it's not a love. Jesus' love is not a love that we see in our day to day. I mean, that loo roll example is just one kind of case study, I guess, of the behaviour of people nowadays. And it's easy to forget, I think, that Jesus loves us in such a radical way, because we don't see it very often. And I can imagine that, going back to Peter now, that kind of that night must have been really distressing for Peter. But he gets another go. John chapter 21. Peter, because Peter denied Jesus three times, the parallel in John chapter 21 is that he actually gets to affirm Jesus' love three times. And it's worth reading, look into the context. I'm not going to go into it now because this will be too long. But Peter is basically recommissioned. And the title of the group, the thing, is called The Recommissioning Peter, or Jesus Challenges Peter. And I love that because we are our own worst critic. And, you know, nobody knows the thoughts that you have in your head when you go to sleep at night. Nobody's in your head as much as you are. And sometimes we can think things, and I can imagine Peter on the night of the denial kind of thinking it through, having it kind of simmer. And, you know, things get blown out of proportion in our head, don't they? And then we end up in a state of fear, and we're just kind of paralysed from it. And for some people it can be really crippling, especially if they have mental health disorders. But 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 says there's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out all fear. And so that tells me, at least, and I hope it tells you, that there's room for freedom. Like, if God knew the mistakes we were going to make, but forgave us anyway, then that means we are no longer bound by what used to hold us. You know, there's a song, I'm no longer a slave to fear, I am a child of God. I love that song, it's so good. But there's no longer, that stuff no longer has a hold on us, because Jesus took our sins upon himself. And so it doesn't mean we shouldn't repent, and it doesn't mean we shouldn't say sorry and make amends where we can. What it means is we shouldn't let it hold us back. And with that in mind, my final thing is just allow yourself to be recommissioned. Don't let the mistakes you've made in the past hold you back, because actually Jesus doesn't see you any differently. So yeah, I hope that's been a bit of an encouragement. And yeah, just I'd encourage you to look at the story of Peter. I think the passage is in the notices. And look at the events that led up to that. And John 21 is a really good read as well. So yeah, just give yourself some grace, have some room for freedom, repent and think about things, but don't dwell on them too long. And allow yourself to be like Peter, allow yourself to be forgiven, and allow yourself to be recommissioned. That's all.